This is the Alchemy Experience podcast, brought to you by Lila Radio, a place where we embrace natural living, getting back to the basics, and back into nature. I am your host, Lila Becker. I'm a lifelong alchemist, mixologist, and a catalyst for your conjuring of creative concoctions. In these podcasts, I talk about herbalism, yoga, meditation, cooking, bath and beauty blending, and the art of healing yourself. Welcome. Now, my book, Broke Open, goes between life experiences and what I have learned in this life. So I'm just going to read this lightly, this one section about ancient medical practices. Ancient medical practices such as Ayurveda and Chinese medicine practice a core instinctual belief. For optimal health, energy must flow. When energy is stagnant or stuck, it can result in a tsunami of illnesses. And when unresolved feelings or experiences are unleashed, it can create a river of trapped emotions and emotions that flood our physical bodies. Let's take, for example, the practice of pranic breathing. Now, this is going to be a little exercise. So sit in a quiet place and just be with me for a few minutes. Of course, if you're driving, wait until you're not to do this. So take a deep breath in. Fill your lungs with breath. Keep sipping in breath at the top of this inhale. Feel the stretching of the intercostal muscles between your ribs. Expand your ribs out wide. Now exhale, slowly and controlled. Exhale all the air out of your lungs. Do this 3 times. Can you notice the way you feel both mentally and physically? Maybe a little lighter, a little more tingly, a little bit more awake. This is because prana, the energy of breath, is flowing through the vessels and the energetic channels in our body. And when paired with elongated physical asanas, such as the ones done in hatha or tantra yoga, the openness of the asanas flushes informational hormones and neurotransmitters through the body and the brain. This is a practice that can change the neurons in the brain at a cellular level. When we are not aware of how to utilize our breath as a vehicle for these hormones and the neurotransmitters, they can become stuck within the body. Most societies are a collection of people who have learned to hack life by skipping the basics and primordial importance of breathing. Most people are addicted to the hormones that our fight or flight systems release when they are on high alert. So instead of slowing down to breathe, we opt for shallow breath, which continues to push the hormones of estrogen, testosterone, and cortisol, as well as the neurotransmitters of dopamine and serotonin. When people talk about getting stuck, I think it's so interesting because energetically and scientifically, they are. Energy, hormones, and neurotransmitters get stuck due to the lifestyle that most of us choose to lead. Stagnant or stuck energy will result in a vicious loop of the feeling of unworthiness, pain, and small thinking. It is very possible to live a life of shallow breathing. But keep in mind that by choosing not to expel energetic frequencies from our body, for example, trauma, experiences, hard words, limiting beliefs, these frequencies will stay close to the chest and absorb into the fibers of our beings. In my experience, one can try to ignore these frequencies, but with the conscious self-care and by remembering that our breath is a gift from God, And that remembering that it is a valuable tool that can help us release energy back into the universe. I am not going to lie. Letting go and facing my past and my trauma and my life was literally the hardest work I have ever had to do. And it is also the most rewarding. After the moment that I decided to change my life, and all those decisions are in my book, I started to make these small shifts in my reality. At that moment in my life, I considered myself to be very lucky. I had become very sick. But this was a byproduct of not living from my heart and not stepping into my universal flow. What I realize now as I wrote this book is that the universe was always pushing, almost forcefully moving me towards my aha moment. Things started to shift for me. They were guiding me to my path. And at that time, I was so weak from the sickness that I didn't have enough strength to fight it. I had no choice but to let go and see where it wanted me to go. I am grateful that I had such amazing parents with such inspirations and open-mindedness to alternative healing practices that at that time in my life, I was living in Taos, New Mexico, and it was the epicenter for natural healing and spirituality. And I had the opportunity to study with some of the most impressive teachers and healers alive today. And I learned so much that would help me travel the road to India and eventually to my health. My parents named me Leela, meaning to dance in God's light. Leela, two short syllables representing the duality of the twins of Gemini. As my fate would have it, Gemini's ruling organ is the lungs, the place where most energetic emotions are stored. According to Chinese medicine, if one does not cry or release energy, emotions can get trapped. If it is not expelled, it will fester and clog up energetic frequencies in the body. The human form is flawless, so luckily when we cry, our lungs are designed to expel such emotions. But I did not for those first 2 minutes. Was this my test? Did I pass right out of the gate, or a head start on a trajectory that would inspire others with their trapped emotions? Did the divine forget to ignite my spirit? It has been discovered that the catalyst of creating life at the point of conception is a spark of blue light inside the embryo. I wonder if it is this light in which all religions speak of. Is it possible that this is a gift from the divine, God, Allah, the universe, spirit, light, whatever you call it? The universe that shines in all of our hearts, allowing us to seek peace, love, and happiness. Before I could walk or talk, I could feel this light inside of me. I think we all can. I think some are just a little more aware of it than others. Is it at birth that we receive not only the light, but also our life force, the breath? Without breath, we do not have life. And what is life force but the spirit in all of us? The word spirit is directly translated from the Latin meaning spiritus, which means breath of God. And the word inspiration means breath of life. So I can only conclude that we are living, breathing gods with the light to guide us and the breath to inspire us. There are different layers to breath. And when we are not taught properly from a young age, we do not know how breath can be used as a tool we kind of just take it for granted. Our chest rises and falls and air comes in and out, and maybe we're short of breath sometimes, or we try to catch our breath the other times, but it's always there. It will always be there. And it is a magical tool that has been put inside of all of us that we are just not taught at a young age. So when I was a kid, I was riddled with anxiety. I didn't know that if I would have learned to have just taken deep breaths, I would have been able to push past all of that. So there are certain ways that children, adolescents, deal with anxiety. And in the early 90s, it was the thing to smoke cigarettes. So I want to read you a passage about smoking cigarettes in my book, Broke Open. I try too hard to squeeze my way into a world that doesn't see me. The first time I held a cigarette, I remember thinking how well it fits in the palm of my adolescent hand, rubbing my fingers around the sharp corners of the box. I had admired the way the other kids' lips kissed the tip and how intensely they stared into the flame that would set the end on fire. They graciously allow the smoke to bellow out the sides of their mouths, deep draws to sustain the raging ember. Holding fire between two fingers, their chests rise as they invite in the plume. With practice, my tongue grew numb to the taste, and I started to enjoy it. It effortlessly consumed me, and I learned how to move within its haze. It is a small crutch that I hold securely in the space between my index and middle finger. It turned into a reason to remove myself from certain situations, to not go home at night, and to connect within a world in which I had trouble connecting. It is a brief sense of connection. I finally found something in common with my peers. We share the same burning chests, the same struggle to breathe, the same shame that came with every shallow drag. Every time I opened that sharp-edged box, every time I bit down on the dry cotton, I knew that I was doing something that I could not stop. I willingly entered into a self-made prison laced with false confidence and artificial breaths. This sexy idea of wrong, this small shackle of a cigarette, was my shield of strength in dark alleys and comfort on lonely nights. It was my entrance into any conversation and my numbness into an overwhelming world for the next 15 years. It still amazes me what we will do to fit in as kids. So as I mentioned before, I was very fortunate to have a plethora of amazing teachers at this point in my life. I was on a search to heal myself, and so I was throwing myself into anything and everything I could get my hands on. Taos, New Mexico at that time had some of the most amazing teachers in the area, one of them being Dr. Vasant Lad, and he is the founder of the Ayurveda Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was fortunate enough to study under him and learn the true meaning of let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. I was blessed enough to have the opportunity to do devotional cooking at the Hanuman Temple in Taos, New Mexico. So Hanuman is the monkey god in the Hindu religion, and he believes that everybody should be fed. And so the mantra that goes along with it is, Om Mani Padme Hum, the hand of God that feeds you. It was in this ashram, in this kitchen, that I learned how to clear my mind and not allow my energy to be transferred over to anything that could absorb the energy. So this is really important in life as well. It's not okay to just flop your energy all over the place, because there are some very sensitive people out there that can absorb it. There are things such as water that is such a huge conductor for energy that can also absorb it. It's a really good practice to be able to release your energy and clear your mind. And in this temple, I learned to say my mantra and allow the energies of the herbs and the vegetables that I was using to make lunch for the devotees of the ashram to talk to me, rather than imposing my energies onto the dish or onto the chai that I was first told to make. So this was another teacher of mine, being blessed enough to do devotional cooking at the Hanuman Temple. Another amazing teacher that came into my life was Miriam Garay Ferrando. She is an elder of the Native American Turtle Tribe in Taos, New Mexico. She taught me about sacred ceremonies. We did a lot of sweat lodges, a lot of letting go of trapped spirits, a lot of drum circles, a lot of getting in touch with things that cling on to you. In 1796, there was a theory that the body is lacking a certain energetic frequency to heal itself. If the patient is given an energetic frequency of the energy in which she is lacking, then they will get better. The theory is that we diagnose the homeopathic remedy that would create the same symptoms that if that element was ingested in the raw form. For example, if one were to eat flower belladonna, they would get a high fever and rash. When this patient is given the homeopathic remedy of the essence of belladonna, the high fever and rash go away. Some say that you have to believe in it to work, and others say it is magic. I grew up with this. My mother was well studied in homeopathy, so I know from personal experience that it's a little bit of both. I was blessed enough at this time to be able to get a certification in homeopathy, and I am so grateful for that education. You will see when you read my book the physical illnesses that I went through as a child, one of them being I had a cyst that wrapped around my fallopian tube, and when I was 15 years old, I almost bled to death. I was rushed to the hospital, and they cut me open from belly button to pubic bone. I believe that that was a big player in losing my period at the age of 37. And of course, stress went along with that. So I have been through the fire and come out on the other side. But because of that scar that I got when I was 15 years old, there was a lot of scar tissue that kept growing internally. And scar tissue can grow and grow and grow until it attaches onto organs and spinal cords. And this can create a whole wealth of other issues. So it is important to break up that fascia inside the stomach or wherever that scar may be, so that it doesn't continue to grow. One of the teachers that I got to study with in Taos, New Mexico was this woman who did Mayan stomach massage. And a lot of her teachings was actually just receiving the Mayan stomach massage, because we keep all these things inside. And in psychoneuroimmunology, one of my biggest studies, when the mind is sick, the body will present that sickness. And so keeping things stuck, keeping things hidden inside and not releasing them and not dealing with trauma will create a world of illnesses. So learning Mayan stomach massage and how to give and how to get Mayan stomach massage was a huge breakthrough in my healing process. It was around this time that I decided that I was leaving for India. Everybody around me and everyone who knew me believed that I would never make it because I was so sick and because the doctors couldn't figure out why. But I was so intent on leaving. I believed that my search for my health would be in India. So I was about a month out and I was still having my sickness episodes that no one could diagnose. And so my parents sent me to take intravenous vitamin C and intravenous ultraviolet light. This was a super cool therapy to experience. And it wasn't necessarily this therapy that I want to talk about in this segment, but it's more about learning about Jyotish astrology. And so there was this Jyotish astrology reader at the clinic where I was getting the intravenous vitamin C. And he explained to me that Jyotish astrology is a spiral. It's actually 13 spirals that are on top of each other. And usually you would read somebody's birth chart and they would have different planets in different houses on different spirals all throughout the spiral of the Jyotish astrology. But when he read mine, he said he'd only ever seen it once before in his life. And he said that all of my houses were in the last segment on the last spiral of this spiral of life. And I asked him, well, what does that mean? And he said that my dharma is over. There's no more reincarnation. That's it. Everything is caught up with each other and it's this life and I go into moksha, freedom, as they call it. He did say that I travel through this life with a warrior and a priest on either side of me. And he asked me what that meant to me. And for me at that time was such a push to go to India, to give up my life and go. It just was validation that I had something strong like the warrior and something holy like the priest pushing me towards my greatness. So that in itself broke open a whole other world that I never thought I could even see. And I kind of got a glimpse of what I was supposed to do in this life. Kambu. It's another one of my teachings. Kambu is the poisonous sweat, if you will, that comes off of an indigenous frog from the Amazon. And my mother was a wild one, and she was always seeking the coolest therapies out there. So she convinced me to go see these two shamans that lived out on the mesa, and through ancestral birthright, they were given the privilege to administer kombu. It was an interesting experience where they would burn holes into your skin of your shoulder and then put the powdered poison into it. And within minutes, you would trip. And like all things like ayahuasca, mushrooms, and kombu, tripping is supposed to be like sitting with your demons. You see what is holding you back. You see what you can release and you see what you can live with. And then you work on that for years. So this was another thing that I was extremely grateful to have experienced in that time. Amma, the hugging saint, came to North America, came to Albuquerque to do one of her tours. And my mom and my dad and I got a chance to go down and do darshan with her. So Amma was a very poor peasant in India as a child, and she had nothing. And yet she would go around and hug people. And that was her way of transferring love. So after a while, she was named a saint, and she's the hugging saint now. So she travels all around the world. She feeds and clothes and gives medicine and houses more people than most small countries. She has an incredible organization. But one of the things that she does in her darshan is she'll just hug you. She doesn't say anything unless you ask for a mantra, and then she'll bring one down from God's lips to her ears and pass it along to you. But mainly, she just hugs you with such an open and honest and bright hug that it almost cracks you open and allows all the stuck energy to flow out. I never considered myself much of a person that cried before going to see her, and after her, I cried for about 2 weeks. I couldn't stop the tears. She broke something open inside of me, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And it was an interesting experience, and I was fortunate enough to go back to her ashram in India when I was there. One of my biggest teachers in this time, and I know I've mentioned a lot, but to bring it back in to our guiding light, to ourselves, one of my biggest teachers was me. And listening to myself, listening to what my inner light was telling me was the right thing to do. It was a very, very intense practice to learn to block out the naysayers in my life that said I was too sick, I was too broke, I was too, whatever their excuses were, whatever their blockages were. It was really important for me to just block them out. Mastin Kipp, he runs the Daily Love podcast, and now he actually has written a few books, and he does a bunch of workshops. But back in the day, he had just started the Daily Love, and he talks about how he really wanted to do this blog, and he was broke, and he was living out of his friend's pool house, and his mother kept saying, "Why don't you get a real job? Why don't you get a real job?" And he actually said, "You have to divorce your parents to fulfill your dreams." And he didn't necessarily mean like never talk to them again, but definitely put a huge barrier between you and the people that think they know best for you until you have achieved that thing that drives you forward. So Mastin Kipp was very poor. He was living off of ramen noodles, and he was just about to give up when Kim Kardashian retweeted one of his quotes and his blog went viral. So I really took this lesson to heart. And I wasn't being mean in any way, shape, or form. I knew in the depths of my cells that I needed to do this for me, for my healing. And so, like I said, one of my biggest teachers was really learning to listen to my inner guidance system. In 2015, I was 3 hours into a 5 hour long yoga practice on the top of this ashram in the south of India. And it was so hot. And I remember that there were these fire ants biting me, and sweat was just pouring off of me. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't hold on. And I just relaxed. And in that moment, I was able to break open and receive a download from God. It was beautifully colored, and I knew exactly what I needed to do in my life. One of those things was creating a workshop called Mind Over What Matters. And I am starting that workshop back up again. It's starting on Saturdays. March 12th is the first one. You can join me online or in person if you live in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. To find out more about this workshop and to get the early bird price, go to foodloveyogahealth.com. And there'll be more information about that in the description of this episode. Oprah once said that we are the authors of the books of our lives. We can rewrite our stories. We can stop in the middle and start all over again. It doesn't matter. There's no timeline. Time is an illusion anyways. It's only how you feel and the spirit that is guiding you and the energy that that gives you. So with my inner guidance system, I went to India, and it was that sense of self that led me to all these amazing experiences. I graduated from the Ayurveda and Health Institute in Goa, India. I also ended up getting my 500-hour traditional tantra yoga and meditation certificate from an ashram in south of Goa on Kanakona Beach. And there was just these incredible things that just kept happening over and over again. And I felt as if it was God guiding me. So there's this really great quote in India, and all the Western travelers say it, that India will never give you what you want, but it will always give you what you need. And India gave me exactly what I needed. So much so that I came back to the United States, and I just wanted to scream from the rooftops how we don't have to live in the way that we used to live, that we can learn to control our breath and utilize our breath to have the most fantastic life possible. In my book, I end the book with a few exercises, and I want to just do one with you now. Again, if you're driving, please wait until you're not. And if you're not, then please close your eyes. Take 3 deep breaths. Relax your body. Think of something that you would like to change about yourself. Something that you would like to rewrite. When you think about this thing, where do you feel it in your body? How does it feel? Does it take shape? Or color, or present in an image. Can you think back into the story of your life and pinpoint when this narrative was introduced into your story? Where did it come from? Was it the words of a parent or a teacher or a playmate? Was it the result of an incident where you felt responsible or you wanted to take on responsibility for someone else so that they would not have to bear the pain? Can you pinpoint without judgment whose narrative it is? Can you decipher why you would have taken it on? Again, try not to judge it. The reason we visit these places in our subconscious while in meditation is because it is in meditation that we can let go of judgment and just observe. Also, when we meditate, our body reduces the amount of blood flow to the brain, allowing it to become more pliable and release neurons that have wired together. When these neurons let go, we can reprogram them with a different narrative of our choice. And as you sit and meditate, and now that you have given yourself the permission to visit the root of your narrative, you can change it. Yes, you have that choice and that ability to change the book of your life. Think of a positive alternative to the narrative in which you would like to change. Take 3 deep breaths. Revisit that moment in which the current, not positive, narrative got stuck in your consciousness. Now flip that story. Tell yourself a different one. One in which you would rather it to be. Yes, it may feel like a lie at first, but pretend like you are in a play and the script writer just made some changes. Feel the emotion that comes along with the new narrative. Practice holding the energy from these emotions in your body for at least 20 minutes a day. And you can do this practice as much as you need until the rewired neurons send different shipments of neurochemicals into your body and make you feel good and start to heal you from the inside. Once the new narrative is established, then this is the story you tell yourself. If you want to make a change in your behavior, health, and the future, you have to change your story. Like anything in life, you need the right people on your team to make the right choices to bring your art and your magic to fruition. And I have faith that God will present that person to me at the right time in the manner in which it should. As it stands right now, this book, Broke Open, is not yet published. But that does not mean that I don't want to get it out there in the world to all of you. So Broke Open is a wonderful hero's journey story about my life, about hiding traumas, not knowing how to deal with them, and how they present themselves in the body. It's a story explaining psychoneuroimmunology, the link between body and mind. It's the story of how holistic healing and yoga and travel allowed me to find my health and my happiness. And so it's for sale on my website at a very discounted price. So you can go to foodloveyogahealth.com/novels to be one of the first to purchase this awesome book. In the end, only 3 things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things that are not meant for you, the Buddha. This following poem was published in Seattle Yoga News in 2015, and it went viral, and it is my favorite thing about this book. I took a wrong turn and stumbled down an alley. Narrow cobblestone streets weave their way deep into Delhi's belly. Living was alive on these back streets, neighbors helping neighbors, kids play while mothers cook. Laundry hanging out to dry makes a canopy strung from one broken building to the next. I am transported into a thick haze of Indian spices and smiles of bright teeth wrapped in bronze faces. Large Ganesha statues stand proud at every corner, and I join a swarm of colors riding the backs of strong Indian women as we pray. O India, a life of spontaneous song and prayer drips from your lips. I carry a heavy basket of contemplation for the hopes of bliss and blessings in my heart, constantly walking a path of divinity and devotion for my soul. India, you have held my hand as I have walked your dusty roads. You took my breath away at the feet of the Himalayas and washed my sins in Maganja in the north. You turned up the heat as I walked with fire lit by ghee lamps into the heart of the temples of the south. I studied your science of life, and the knowledge of Ayurveda pumps in my veins, and now I preach your teachings of let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. I hike through your jungles of your west coast and sat with your babas under their banyan trees. You introduced me to naked Kali, naked because this is how you see me, nothing to hide, my true self standing in front of you. I learned to live from that true self and chase after my dreams instead of only dreaming about them. India, you may not have given me what I wanted, but you will always give me what I need. I came to India seeking something heart wide open to receive, and I have found. I have lived 1,000 golden lives here. I give gratitude for the opportunity to absorb the energy of friendship, explorer, warrior, dreamer, and doer. I step boldly into the role of confident teacher, student, lover, and yogi. I am blessed. I am lucky. And so are you. When we walk towards our dreams come true. When we live the life we want. So what do you want? What is your dream? How can we make that dream come true? Thank you for listening to The Alchemy Experience by Lila Radio, where we believe in truth, liberty, and freedom to heal yourself by what God has put on this beautiful earth. You can follow me on Instagram at @Appalachia_wild or on my website at foodloveyogahealth.com. I am Lila Becker, and until next time, take care. My first business was Naturally Lila. It came to me in a dream. I was making natural cosmetics and natural bath and beauty products at the time, and I wanted to create a business and I needed a name. So one night I went to bed asking God to deliver inspiration for a name, and the next morning it just hit me, Naturally Lila. I loved running Naturally Lila. I love the creativity, the mixology, the aromatherapy, everything that came along with it was my favorite thing. I have since taken my alchemy experience and turned it into what I am calling The Alchemy Experience. It's a monthly subscription box where I send you all the necessary ingredients and materials to make your own Naturally Lila products from my Naturally Lila recipes, and you get videos and a booklet and labels, and you get to learn how to make Naturally Lila products for yourself. So then my second business was Lila Foods, where I actually took classes and got certified to create vegan, good-for-you foods. And I still have that today, making natural teas, natural desserts, things that are all available on my website at foodloveyogahealth.com. But this is not the point. So then came Lila Radio, and I wanted eventually to have Lila Global, right? Even when I write my books, it's called Lila Writes. So one may think I'm extremely egotistical, and I'm here to tell you that that's not the reason at all. I name all my products after me because I am owning my name. I'm stepping into my full self. So when I was a kid, I was bullied and about my name and about a bunch of other things, but mainly it was my name. Nobody else had the name Lila. It was weird. Like, nobody could say it right. And I hated it for that reason. I mean, there was a portion of my life where I wanted to be called a nickname for my middle name. And I am so embarrassed now for those years of how I just hated my name. So there's this point in your life, it's around mid-20s, early 30s, where you realize that you don't have to impress everyone around you, and people who say bad things about you are probably just having bad days themselves, transferring their energy onto you. But as a child, you don't get that. You don't know. Everything is so sensitive and touchy. So it was around this time that I really started to own my name. I really started to step into myself, gathering self-confidence and living my life. So with that said, I would have to then own my name, my God-given name. Speaking of God, I mean, it is a pretty cool name. In every language around the world, there is a word for Lila, and every single one of those words means light. My parents named me Lila after the Hindu Lila, which means to dance in God's light. So that's pretty cool to have products made from God's light. It's about stepping into yourself and really deep down feeling who you are and what you can give the world. So every time I promote my business or any of my businesses, it sends a shockwave of pride and self-confidence into my bones. And it reminds me that we all go through it and we all grow up and we all find our way to self-confidence eventually. There is nothing I want more in this world than for people to express themselves and be creative and share their gifts to the world. It took me a real long time to realize that my gifts are good too. And so I just love that. And I just love the ring that my name brings into these energetic products that I put out there into the world. So they are my gift to you. And they come to me from God, quite honestly. Pretty much everything that I have ever created or ever put out there in the world has been a whisper from Allah, Divine, or God. It is something that just burns inside of me until I can get it out into the world. So with all my creativity and all my newfound self-confidence, with all my blessings and all the good energy in the world, I present to you my Lila products at Food Love Yoga Health, and I hope you love them as much as I do.